Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
What's happening across Connecticut? Melissa in the Morning's conversation with Governor Ned Lamont. Now on WICC 600.
Governor Lamont, thanks for coming on this morning. How are you?
Hey, but my thoughts and prayers only go out to the president and the first lady. Mm-hmm. And to Hope Hicks, who's a Connecticut girl, actually, down in Greenwich. I served on the board of selectmen with her dad, Paul Hicks. So our prayers go out to all the above.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right. Yeah, no, we had Congressman Jim Himes on earlier this morning, and I said, you better go get tested. He's like, oh, of course I'm going to get tested. I said, I'm nervous, you know, because I don't know how many people the president has even been in contact with in this last week. So it could be a ripple effect. I hope it's not, but certainly I'm with you. The prayers for everybody who's been impacted by this. So thank you for saying that. Right here in Connecticut, some pretty big news overnight. We know that the utilities bill, the Take Back Our Grid Act, has been basically given the stamp of approval. It's now headed to your desk. So will you be signing it? I know this was a really big effort on your part, specifically touting to really hold our utilities accountable. And is there anything in this bill that you would have liked to have seen? Are there any parts of it that you would have liked to see added to it?
I think it's a good bill. What it does is set out the goals of performance-based regulation. And that means that you don't get an automatic fat rate of return, whatever job you do. You earn it. If you do a good job, you get a good rate of return. If you do a bad job, meaning it takes you an extra week to get people's power turned back on, you pay a price for that. I think that's appropriate. And now it goes to our regulatory board called PURA, and they're going to put that into regulation.
Okay. So and we can expect that you're going to sign this.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. So speaking of the special session, just a quick question. Who decides on what issues are going to be talked about in a special session?
Yeah, the legislature had dozens of bills. You know, our team working with the leadership, we narrowed that down given the fact that it's a special session. We wanted things that were timely and important and that didn't have a big fiscal impact because it's just a one-day session. So at the end of the day, we signed off on what was a pretty good agenda.
Okay. The only reason I ask is because I couldn't help but notice when I saw the list that your office sent out, there was really nothing connected to the pandemic. Like I was actually kind of shocked that vaccinations didn't make it to the agenda because we're just about a month away from flu season. We've seen our neighbors look at this. We've seen Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York look at possible mandates. So I was surprised that we didn't take this up in the session.
Yeah, we thought about that, Melissa. Right now, Connecticut is pretty good when it comes to getting your vaccine, especially in this case, the flu shot. I think one of the very top in the country. We're going to put that out there, make it free, take it to the schools, do everything we can to up that from 72% to 85% or up the number of people who get that. Because, as you know, flu and COVID have the same symptoms.
Right.
And that could get really complicated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the problem is, Governor, is last year we were struggling to get our numbers up to where we like to see them. So I'm just concerned with the pandemic and people not even really wanting to go for in-person doctor's appointments. Even if we offer free vaccines, that they're going to get it or that their kids are going to get it.
Yeah, I understand the concern, but and you're right, especially last year, a lot of people forego their vaccines just because they weren't going to see their doctor for obvious reasons. But I think we're in a different place and we're going to make sure that everyone get their flu vaccine. It's really important. I'm getting mine next week.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'm going to hold you to it. Also, I know something else that I was a little bit surprised didn't come up, or I'm not sure if this is something you guys are just working out with the union specifically. The teachers union had reached out saying that they'd like more clarification because it seemed like in the beginning of the school year, things were pretty good. But then we started to see schools shut down after two cases, four cases, whatever the case may be, and then open back up the next week. And it seemed like that wasn't really the vision that you wanted to see. So I thought the union had kind of reached out saying, well, let's get some more clarification. So I was surprised that wasn't really brought up either. Any sort of response or any update on that?
Yeah, we work very closely with the local superintendent. They have discretion. Every situation's a little different. If that fifth grader tests positive, was he or she just cohorted with their particular fifth grade class? Did they have wider exposure within the school? That helps dictate, you know, what the response is. So it is not a one-size-fits-all. As you know, Danbury flared up, and they decided to put off opening their schools for in-person. Norwich flared up, and they've gone to all virtual in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So every situation is a little bit different, but I think the schools are handling it pretty well.
So Connecticut is seeing around just close to a 2% infection rate, which, again, across the nation is very low, considering where other states are landing right now. But, you know, when we've gone about 3 months of having way below a 1% infection rate and all of a sudden you're seeing this jump, it's of concern. I think it's something that we're worried about. And I know, Governor, right now there's a pending lawsuit that a group of parents don't feel their kids should have to wear masks. In fact, they've kind of made it clear that they, too, don't really feel they need to wear masks. What is sort of your response at this point? Because clearly, if we're starting to pull back on some of those very common hand washing, face mask wearing, social distancing, I think we're going to start to see problems.
You're exactly right there, Melissa. You're right. We have ticked up a little bit over the last few weeks. New York is ticking up. Massachusetts is ticking up. Did you remember when we got hit in April? It was a regional thing. It actually came up from New York. We're watching it very carefully. We're 1.8, 1.9, still one of the lowest in the country. What I'm really watching for is there's a nursing home in Colchester, mm-hmm. Connecticut, where there were 57 infections. Norwich got hit pretty hard. And if it's contained in a nursing home, that's one thing. If it leads to community spread, that's another thing. So that's why we bring in our rapid response team, do the testing, do the quarantining, see if we can limit the spread. And you're right. In Norwich, one of the state reps there says that you can't make me wear a mask and is suing us. And that's the very town where you have the spread, which is really putting us at risk.
And here's my concern with that as well, Governor, with just those two places that you just mentioned, nursing homes. You know, we have listeners here who have literally been praising the fact that finally, after so many months of not being able to actually be with their loved ones, they're able to actually go inside and sit with them, which has been honestly life-changing for many of those patients as well. Do you fear, though, when you see these huge spikes, you know, in places that, not to mention, we didn't really see high numbers when we were in the peak of the pandemic, is that going to impact your decision to kind of lessen the restrictions on visitations to nursing homes?
Well, right now, following federal guidance, CMS, they've said allow, you know, in-person visits unless the region or that locality has real community spread. You get tested before you go in. You're wearing the mask. You know, back Mother's Day last spring, we allowed outside visitations because that was just so much safer. But that doesn't work as well when chillier weather in October. But you're right. We're watching this carefully.
Mm-hmm. And what about parties? You know, so I know next week phase three goes into effect. We're basically upping capacity for major establishments like restaurants, venues, things like that. And my concern, Governor, is so in Fairfield, I'm sure you know, Fairfield Ludlow High School shut down, opened up, shut down a day later because they started to see a mass amount of cases, mostly students. And they linked it to, I think it was at least six major student parties in September. So my concern here is when we up the amount of people, or the capacity, I should say, in these major venues, you also have Halloween that's coming up. I know those guidelines just came out. We've been talking about that on the show. Do you think with seeing our percentage of infections going up, do you see pushing back phase three? Like, is there a rush to really open up our capacity even more at this point?
Okay, you got a lot there. So
yes.
right now we're finding our classrooms are very safe.
Yes.
And there's very little infection in the school itself. But you're right. Some of the off-campus events, parties, for example, even some sports, There, we've got to monitor that very carefully. I don't want to be Ned Killjoy Lamont, but it's those private parties where a lot of the infections are taking place and people relax their guard. What we did say, though, was, again, with the colder weather, if you want to have a private party with more people, say up to 100, do it at an event venue where the people are trained. We know who's been invited to the party. We know that you're wearing the mask, doing the social distancing. So we can make sure that that is a an environment that's a lot safer than what's happening in some of the private parties.
Is there anything between now and next Thursday when phase three is supposed to go into effect? Is there anything that would make you push that back?
Yeah, if I saw Arizona, Florida, Texas type hockey stick numbers ramping up quickly and dramatically, we would hit the pause button.
Okay.
Just like in some schools, you know, Danbury didn't open. Norwich has just closed their schools. You mentioned your high school in Fairfield. We're reacting in real time to keep people safe.
And we're talking to Governor Ned Lamont this morning about what else COVID-19. So I have to ask you this, and maybe I sounded crazy, but I really tried to replay and listen over and over what Josh was saying about this new phone tracking system, Governor, and maybe I missed the boat on this. But I just wanted to understand, this is an opt-in system when it does become live, correct? Like, you can decide to do this tracking system.
That's right. Your iPhone, your Android device, if you so choose, on a purely anonymous basis, you activate the app at no cost, and it will notify you if you've been in contact with somebody who tested positive for COVID. If you want to, we'll get you connected to one of our community counselors. They'll tell you what you can do. If you can quarantine, we'll find actually a place for you to quarantine if there's not room at your home. So it's an opt-in, as you point out, but it really allows us to track and trace on a broader basis quickly.
And it seems like almost instant gratification, you know, like it would make me feel great if I knew that the mom that I was with, you know, that day and our kids were playing, that she contracted it. I'd feel good about it. My only concern with this, which is why I'm wondering if this would change, is with an opt-in system, you know, if let's say there's a group of five women, they hang out every week with their kids, and one of the women is not in that system, and say she's the one who contracts COVID-19, we would never know. So do you think, especially if our numbers go up, which I'm hoping they don't, but if they do you think there would be a point where you would mandate something for the tracking system?
I can see that, but I hope not. You know, mandate using the app, mandate vaccines. There's a lot of pushback on that. And, and so far, what we've been able to do for the last 7 months is convince people to do this voluntarily, to step up. It's for the best interests of you, your family, and your community. And we've done pretty well there. You know, in very limited places have we find maybe somebody about the mask, but I think that's very limited. It's just really setting an example in terms of how to keep your community safe.
So you guys think a lot of people are going to sign up for this? You feel pretty confident that Connecticut will sign up for it in a mass, like the majority of us will?
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure it's a new thing, but I hope they do. You know, yeah. And then the next one we've got to work on, Melissa, is the COVID vaccine. That's going to, let's say we'll have that available early next year. And we put in place a commission, just give people confidence that when it gets out there, it's safe and effective. Some people worry it's being politically rushed through the process in Washington, and we want to give people confidence there to take that vaccine on a voluntary basis.
Absolutely. And the last thing I just wanted to ask you, Governor, before I let you go, only because I have family members, not to call my father out, but my dad, who is very nervous of, he does not like the nasal testing. He's not a fan of it. And he's done it, but he's not a fan. And he was wondering when we're going to get the saliva testing, like when that is going to become available in Connecticut, where you could test negative if you're out of state.
Well, I'll tell you, Dad, I know where he's at. they're doing saliva testing at Sacred Heart and Yale, I think launching at UConn. I think even better, and your dad will like this a lot, is the five-minute Abbott lab test. It's a very, it's non-intrusive. You can almost self-administer it. You do it to a school nurse or something like that. You get a response within about 90 seconds. And I think it's a lot easier way to go. We're going to be rolling that out on a broad base. We're going to have the first available next week. We'll have probably, hundreds of thousands of doses very soon.
Oh, great. So the Abbott lab tests, will we be able to kind of find those at those pop-up sites like we have been with the nasal tests as well?
We're figuring out how we roll that out, but it's going to be easier. And what's really great about it is even the saliva test, you have to send it to a lab, and it takes a day or two to come back. With this five-minute test, you get an instant response. Doesn't have to go to a lab.
Yeah, that'll be really great. All right, well, good. He'll definitely like that update. Well, Governor Lamont, I appreciate you giving us extra time this morning. I know a lot of questions, but I really appreciate it, and we'll talk again really soon.
Be safe, Melissa. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. It's time to go to the kitchen with Cooking with Claude. My mother is here now. Hey, Mom. Happy Friday.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was telling everyone before the commercial break that your chicken wings, I think between Dad and I don't know if anybody else actually ate any of them last weekend. They were so good.
They were good.
And the recipe is so simple. So I said, please, just can you just share it with our listeners? Because I think it'd be great for any fall parties, if you want to bring it as an appetizer, maybe even for Thanksgiving. Or if you're football fans like we are, they're great for Sunday fun day.
Oh, what I'm bringing for Sunday fun day.
Oh, you're bringing them this Sunday to my house?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. I appreciate you. Oh, those are, they're so good. I can't wait. I'm very excited. So how do you make them?
So it's, you just collect all your ingredients. And of course I will try to give you guys some kind of measurements, on what to do, but I started it. I mean, you need a lot. So, 'cause you figure, our family, of course, I'm doing 3 and 4 packages of them. So you need like your paprika. That's a big deal. You need a lot of black pepper. I would say like, I don't know, you want to see the paprika. So I would say, a half a jar or whatever you get in the store, 4 or 5 tablespoons of that. Then your pepper. I ground my black pepper. You see me twisting it.
Yes, you get the ground, but yep.
The peppercorns and ground it. But, of course, you don't have to. You want to add in a couple tablespoons of garlic and and your onion powder, and then some Italian seasonings, a little bit of oregano, if you've got a little bit of the Italian seasoning itself, that's called Italian seasoning, and then the biggest thing, a little bit of salt. I use the pink salt. You could use any kind of salt you want, but I thought the biggest thing when you put all these ingredients together was your Parmesan cheese, the fine Parmesan cheese, and then mix all this together, and then I just take each piece of chicken and kind of, you want a good amount. You want like a half a bowl full because the chicken does take up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add or subtract whatever you think it looks like you need more of. And, but I do put a lot of Parmesan cheese in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in like a half a bag of that, and then I just mix it all together and then twist the chicken into it, put it on, a baking dish, and then I just bake it, and it just came out like amazing.
Okay. So, I'm going to back up a second. So the chicken wings, they're completely plain. You take them out of the package, you wash them, all that. Once you put all of your seasonings together in a bowl, do you add the Parmesan cheese to that bowl of the seasonings and you mix that all together?
Yes.
Okay. Then you take the chicken wings. You just put them in one at a time, or are you dumping
it on
top?
You do them one at a time. I know you could throw this all in a bag, but then the bag eats up half of it. I kind of just put them in one at a time. And you kind of have to estimate. So, like, if you're doing 20 chicken wings, you need a good size bowl
right.
of, you know, your seasoning, or you could just make it all again if you run out.
Okay. So then once you cover each chicken wing, they're good. You put them on your baking sheet and you put them into the oven. What temperature did you put them at, Ma?
350.
Okay. So 350. How long did you, because they were crispy. They were delicious. How long did you cook them for, you think?
See, and that's another thing I don't know, because sometimes, sometimes the legs are bigger than the wings. So they require a little more cooking. And, of course, as everybody knows, I like things more on the well side.
Right.
So, you know, I just check them. And, you know, when they look nice and crispy, I try one, or somebody will try one, or somebody grabs them at some point, and they'll be like, oh, my God, these are really good. And I'm like, good, then they must be done. Or do they need a little more cooking? So, but you can kind of tell the wings are done a little bit quicker than the legs because they're a little thicker and have a little bit more meat to them.
Right.
You have more bone. So sometimes you have to take the wings out a little bit earlier and cook the legs a little bit longer.
Okay. But if you had to, if you had to,
with my cooking,
yeah, you don't check the time. I was going to say, because that's the only thing. Like, if somebody had to throw this together before they went to a party, you know, could they probably put all this together and cook it and have crispy wings, like, within an hour? I mean, do you know how long? Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I would think so.
Okay.
But just for safekeeping, I would, you know, do it 2 hours before.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, no, because that's the thing is with my mom, most of the times when she's making these meals, we're either coming over for a dinner or she's having some kind of a family get together. So she just, like, you'll start cooking before church, then you'll shut the oven off, then you'll come back and you'll put it back on, and then you'll shut it off because it's a Tuesday. I mean, so it's, I never know how long she actually cooks stuff half the time, and then I go home to try it and it never comes out the way she makes it. So
I know. It's like I have to shut it off because sometimes I, you know, like, have to go do something, like you said, do it before church, or, you know, I start it because then I have to go to work or something.
Right.
Or the baby comes and I know I'm going to forget, like, oh, God, the chicken's been on and now it's burnt. So
right.
I play the safe card, but it's not like, you know, it's still cooking in the oven when you shut it off. So sometimes all you have to do is kind of reheat it. And
that's true.
You know, and put it in your bowl. And remember, when something is really hot and you put it in a bowl and you put aluminum foil over it, just like I did with that steak, it's still cooking in there.
Right.
Warm, because it's still cooking within the steam that can't escape from the aluminum foil.
True. All right, Mom. Well, I'm going to put all these ingredients up on our Facebook page and our website, WICC600.com. So if you want to make some wings for Sunday fun day, if you want to just make them to have.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, they're really good. They were really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I know there's a little listener out there that likes exact. I would say, you know, always your onion powder and your garlic powder. If you're going to use 2 tablespoons, use 2 tablespoons of each. If you're going to use 3, use 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pepper to taste, whatever you like. Salt. Some people like more salt. I don't, so I use very little salt. And then your paprika you want for color and taste. You know, you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. You're making us. No, you're making us all into Italian cooks. It's fine. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. If it looks good, then you're good. No, what I like also about dry rubs is it's actually healthier for you. So when you have those sauces, it's funny because people will think, oh, I'm ordering chicken wings or I'm having chicken wings, so I ate really well at this party. Well, actually, no. Sometimes chicken wings may have the highest calories because of the sauces on it. So a dry rub automatically is actually much more healthy, and you don't feel so guilty having 20 wings, let's just say. Not that I did, but... Yeah, I did.
I think your highest ingredient is your Parmesan.
Right.
But that just makes it. And, you know, if you get the kind that is in the, I mean, you certainly could use the jar kind, but I get the, you know, the one in the, with the cheeses.
Yeah. No, it's good. The finely cut cheese. No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Well, Mom, thank you so much. I'm going to throw this up so everybody can see it. And as in, I'm going to throw the recipe up, not the food. And so everybody can see it and be able to cook those this weekend. So thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, honey.
All right. I love you.